So we all have to take a risk, whether it's attending, and I'm glad the church is opening up. And I'm glad that many people in this area are taking the risk. And by the way, I'm completely understanding of anybody that's in compromised health, over 65, and doesn't feel safe going to church. I'm understanding of those people. And I believe that each person has to make that decision. And I hope that if somebody's not in worship at church, they're worshiping at home. But as I look out, I admire risk takers, because that's you. I'm looking out at risk takers right now. Many of you over 65, many of you have your health challenges and you're still in worship. And we're still trying to be protective here. We're trying to do social distancing. We're encouraging, if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. We think that's what each person should decide. We want people to feel safe in worship. But across the country, most people are not, there's a lot of people that are not coming back to worship. And many of them are young families. The least vulnerable ones, and I've talked to preachers across the country, this is the trend that's going on right now. The least vulnerable, those who have the least to risk, those people that are already going in public, those people that are already shopping, they're already going to malls, they're already going on vacation, they're living their lives, but they're not returning to worship. Why? Why? Well, I was talking to one business owner in Augusta, and she told me, she said, we haven't returned to church because we don't want to risk the people at church. And so she works in this place in the public, but she will not return to church. Is that really the reason? I mean, the idea is I can risk going to Walmart, I can risk going to restaurants, I can risk my coworkers, but when it comes to worship, I can't make the risk. What's the real reason? Well, see, the devil's working today, just like he did in the first century. He's trying to lead Christians astray, and right now he's making some good headway, and he's using all kinds of tactics, and he's using all kinds of reasonings to draw people away from the church and from the truth. We've been in a series of sermons in 1 John. We've already studied in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 2 that the false teachers had infected or infiltrated the church. And so John, he gives a series of tests by which Christians would be able to identify and be able to know who is saved. Last week we looked at the test of love. In the next section of verses, John gets very direct in verse 26 of chapter 2. He says, I'm writing you these things about those who are trying to lead you astray. So what were these false teachers doing? So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading verses 18 and 19. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. And this is how we know this is the last hour. They went out from us, but they really did not belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. John begins by saying, hey, this is the last hour. It's a common theme in the New Testament. I just finished a series of sermons on the last days. The last days are any time between Jesus Christ ascending to heaven and him coming back again. We're in the last days. John mentions the Antichrist. John is the only one that mentions the term Antichrist. There are two kinds of Antichrist mentioned. The first kind is the Antichrist that is coming, and that's in verse 18. This is the man of lawlessness. This is the one that will be the last resistance, the final rebellion against God. He hasn't come yet. Otherwise, you'd know it. The second kind is the Antichrist that have come. John says they've been working in his age, and they've been working in every age. Hitler is a clear example of an Antichrist that's come in our age. And they're in the world today. So what are they doing? They're misleading. They're leading Christians astray. John said it had harmed the church. Whether this was the teachers in the church, that have left, or whether this was the people that left because they were misled, it's not really clear. But the bottom line is, verse 19, they went out from us, but they did not belong to us. People are leaving the church. People are forsaking Christ. It's been going on from the beginning. You remember one of Jesus' closest disciples, the one that was in charge of the money, the one that witnessed the miracles, and the one that saw the teachings of Jesus, Judas, was led by the devil to forsake Jesus. And he ended up betraying Jesus. John writes, some people who've called themselves Christians have left. John says, if they would have been a part of us, they would have stayed. It was in Bible college with many people, many of them wanting to be preachers, wanting them to be Christian teachers. And my friends, today, some of those people have walked away. They could be a preacher in a church. They could be a teacher in a church, but they're no longer even attending church. In fact, some of them have actually gone down the wrong path. They're not even a Christian, calling themselves a Christian anymore, and they're trying to encourage other people to go down that same path that they have chosen. So don't tell me that people don't fall away, because I have seen it myself. John writes these words so that we might take it serious. Following Jesus Christ is risky, and the devil's going to use various means to lead us astray. The text gives us two strengths that Christians have to rely on so they won't be misled. The first strength is Christians must remember they've been anointed by the Holy Spirit. So look at our text again, and this is in verses 20 through 23. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. John writes, you have an anointing. This is the Greek word charisma. He says you have an anointing from the Holy One. Jesus was called the Anointed One. Now the word anointing, one of the ways it's used is it's used for the Holy Spirit. When the early Christians heard this, they would have connected this to their baptism. Not only were they anointed with water, Acts 2:38 says when a believer repents and are baptized in the name of Jesus, not only are their sins forgiven, but they receive an indwelling, a gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, John 16:13, that the Spirit guides into all truth. And there's another scripture. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 21 and 22, and this is a very clear scripture about how the Holy Spirit is an anointing. It says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He's anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. It says God anointed us. He put his Spirit in our heart, and that Spirit is a seal of ownership on us. A great illustration of the Holy Spirit is that he is like a filter. He takes the teaching that we received, and he takes that and he uses it in our life. And when we hear other teaching, the Holy Spirit filters what is good and what is true. Sometimes we're going to hear things that are not true, and the Holy Spirit is going to let us know that that is not true. When we became a Christian, God's Spirit lives in us. He protects us and he guides us. And John tells these Christians, you have the Spirit. You know the truth. Verse 22, and John calls the false teachers a liar because they were denying Jesus as the Messiah. We learn more about this in chapter 4. The idea is they were denying Jesus, that he was sent by God, that he came in the flesh. This is commonly heard today. The lie goes on today. Don Lemon, this is a man that's respected by many, many people in our world today. An anchor for CNN recently said that Jesus Christ admittedly was not perfect when he was here on earth. Now this is people listen to this guy and they respect him and they believe what he says. You may not believe him, but millions of people do. This is Antichrist teaching. It makes Jesus a sinful man. It makes him not divine. So why would anybody ever want to follow Jesus if he wasn't divine? Christians have to be discerning. Any teaching that lowers Jesus, any teaching that denies that he's divine, that he's one with God, is an attack by the devil, and it's intended to lead people astray. Christian strength is listening to the Spirit of God, because they've been anointed by the Spirit. As he speaks through the Scriptures, he will alert them to dangerous ideas. How do we keep from being misled? The second strength is to remember the teachings you were raised with. Look back at 1 John chapter 2, and I want to read verses 24 through 26. As for you, see that what you heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he has promised us, eternal life. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. John says he's writing so that Christians won't be led astray. Now I want you to think about this a moment. If it wasn't possible for a Christian to be led astray, then why would John say that? It's possible. Now I want you to notice the responsibility Christians have. He writes, see to it that what you've heard remains in you. God has promised us eternal life. He'll guide us. He'll protect us by his Spirit. And he's going to do that by what we've been taught in the beginning. See, it's our choice whether we continue on. It's not enough just to hear the Word of God. We have to let it continue on. We have to let it be active in our lives. Have you ever wondered why somebody raised in the church, taught in Sunday school, will not continue on in the church when they're adults? Why? And they're taught solid biblical truths. Well, sadly, they're not choosing to remain active in those teachings in the pursuit of their life. Now, I know this is a sensitive topic, and I know Christians are grieved, and I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying it is happening all across the world, all across the country. There are many Christian parents that are grieving over this, over choices that their adult children are making, but this passage reveals how people are led astray. The responsibility falls on the Christian to continue on. So what can we do? All we can do is pray for those people and speak the truth to them, because they ultimately have to make the choice. You know, I have been horrified by all the riots that are happening. Now, you're probably not seeing too much of it on the news anymore because they're covering it up. It's out there. I just read today that they have prohibited the police from airing any more videos of the riots in Portland, Oregon. They don't want people to show. So why? Who's doing it? If you look, they're mostly younger people. They're people in their 18, 19, 20, whatever. They're in 20s. Why are these young people doing this? Why are they rioting? Well, I just heard, just recently, that a group of moms, 70 moms, got in a chain. They went down to the rioting. They heard there were going to be federal troops down there. So they went into the, and they wanted to protect their rioters. They wanted to protect them from being arrested, and they were shouting vile things at the police officers. But they were also saying things like, leave our kids alone. That's what they were telling him. Another one said, deep in my soul, I feel the need to give the kids a break. So why? Why is that happening? Why are these young people acting like that? Well, one of the main problems is in their life. They've had a lack of parental teaching. Whenever you see a rebellious group of kids, trust me, there's probably a rebellious group of parents out there that are behind it. Not all of them, but there always will be parents that support their children, even if they're criminals. They will. So the parents bear some responsibility, but the one doing the actual crime, they're the ones that bear the ultimate responsibility. John says, remember the teachings you were raised with. They will safeguard your life. Do you remember the basic teachings that you received in Sunday school? Okay, let's just throw this out here. What do you remember being taught in Sunday school? What are some basic lessons that you remember being taught in Sunday school? God is love. Okay, what's another one? Jesus died for us. We got a Sunday school teacher right here. Any other lessons come to mind right off the bat? You just think back. I wrote some things down. The Bible is the Word of God. Jesus is perfect. Forgive those who sin against you. Love everybody, even your enemy. Live a holy life. Be careful what you think about. Be careful how you talk. Come to worship every Sunday. Be faithful to God every week. Confess your sins. Pray to God. So basic. But think about this. If we were to do those things throughout our life, those teachings will safeguard us the rest of our lives against the devil. But see, the devil has a new tactic now. He's not coming at Christians directly and attacking them, because that would stir up opposition. But he's just telling people, healthy people, just relax. Take Sundays easy. Sleep in. You work hard 6 days a week. After all, didn't the government tell you to stay home? Watch the services online. I mean, you watch everything else online. The subtle lie is, listen, you don't need to risk exposing anyone at church. So church is the only thing that some healthy people are missing out on, because they're still going to work, and they're still going to Walmart, and they're still eating out, and they're still going on vacations, but somehow they can't make it back to church. See, one of the biggest churches in the country is in Atlanta, Georgia. This is a church mostly of younger people. It's one of the biggest ones in the whole country. This is a church that's been critical of small churches. It's been critical of people, churches of older people. They have made the decision, I'm going to mention who it is, that they are not going to have church the rest of the year. They've canceled their whole service, but they're encouraging people to watch online. How quickly and how easily we forget the simple teachings that we were raised with. If you move on to the next one there, Brenda. That was interesting enough. I was looking for a graphic to go along with my sermon. I'm searching the internet, and this popped up here. And if you know the story of Ben Carson, it's quite a story. And I don't remember exactly all the details, but basically when he was 5 years old, he went to Detroit, Michigan. And that's when his mom and dad were divorced. And his mom found out that his dad was already married. So they had to divorce. And she had many problems throughout her life. She was very depressed, and she even attempted suicide. So he had a very difficult time. His grades were going up and down, and from time to time he would live with his sister. Had a difficult life. In high school, things kind of leveled out with him, but he was still struggling with anger from a lot of stuff going on in his life. And this was in 1968, when just like today, there was turmoil in the world. That time it was the Vietnam War. And so he decided to press on. He decided to take risk, and he decided to work hard, and he eventually became a world-famous neurosurgeon. But if you ask him what his reason for how he remained true today, he would tell you that it was those teachings that he received when he was a child, those simple teachings of Scripture and about God that he's held on to his whole life. And even today, and he's in a government position, and he's not being treated very well because he's very vocal about his faith in Jesus, and he's continuing to try to live the life. Our scripture today is a reminder to take this seriously. Remember, you're a child of God. His Spirit lives in you. Remember to live those teachings. Be vigilant, be cautious. If you're lazy, if you're complacent, you can find yourself drifting away, buying into false teaching. So here's my challenge. Are you still living with those spiritual teachings that you received when you were a child? You remember when you made that decision for Jesus? Were you excited? Did you keep on? Were you faithful? Are you still continuing on that way? If you are somebody that's listening on the internet and you're active and you're healthy, I want to challenge you to come back to church. Take the risk. You're taking the risk on everything else. Why not take the risk and worship? Maybe you've been out of the church for years. Maybe you don't want to risk coming back because you don't want to have to meet new people and you have to go through that awkward stuff. But take the risk. Take the risk. Come back and serve the Lord. Start off where you were because God is willing. God is willing to work with you and take you where you are right now. See, all Christians, we all have this thing in common. We all took the risk to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Do you remember that day? If you think about it, there was a certain risk involved in doing that because you didn't know. You wanted to be a Christian, but you didn't know what it was all encompassed. You wanted to go to heaven, but you took a risk. And maybe there was somebody in your life that didn't take that too kindly. Maybe they didn't appreciate. Maybe they didn't respect what you did. Maybe your parents didn't think much of religion and you decided to do this. Maybe your friends didn't think much of you, but you took the risk. Well, that risk continues. It is a daily choice that we make every day. Every day we come to the Lord. Every day we decide whether we're going to continue on. God's not going to let us go. He's not going to give up on us. And he's not going to let the devil take us. But we have a choice. That choice is to continue on faithfully every day. Thank you for being here. Continue on and don't underestimate the devil because he will try to sidetrack you. So we're going to sing that beautiful closing chorus that we sang last week. And it's a good way to end the service. So let's all stand.